These people are confused. Just need to love God stronger. Do I love God or do I love me? I call the street Jesus.
Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in big old Johnston proper. I'm glad to have you with us tonight. My name is Ben Foost. The no nickname man. There, take that. I'll do as I please.
People call me Ben.
Some call me Tim.
Oh, man, I need a sweet nickname.
Didn't I come, I, like, pronounce my own
name? Nah, you stink at it. All right, here's the deal. You don't give out good nicknames. Here's the deal. I am a nickname man. I'm awesome at it. But I can't give myself one because that's cheesy.
Actually, my wife accused me of that last week. She goes, it was a personality flaw. Like, you give everybody nicknames. I'm like, I do not. And then she listed, like, the 50 people I know, and I've done it. Yeah, she's right about that.
Oh.
And then I thought...
Yeah, but they're not cheesy nicknames like, hey, what's up, Bobo? Like, it's not, not like jock names or
I came up with the Hamburglar. They used to call him Hamburger Face. And I thought, no, that's got no ring to it. And I said, let's call him the Hamburglar and he will try to steal hamburgers. Look what happened there.
That makes a lot of sense. Anyway, here's what we got going on tonight on Life from the Path. One of my questions on the docket tonight is what is the responsibility of a guy that loves Jesus to be talking on moral issues? There's a lot of it that goes on. There's a lot of soapboxing. There's a lot of representation of people that love Jesus or claim to love Jesus in the news. There's a lot of one-on-one stuff where it's like, hey, man, I need to speak into your life. And the question is what responsibility does the man of Jesus have to speak on moral issues of the day, either interpersonally or
publicly?
Or publicly. Okay, that's the question. And so just think on that broad premise. I'll nail it down just a little bit more based off an article that I read earlier today. And so I kind of wanted to talk through that because I feel like if we misunderstand that, we have a very real possibility of mission skewing, where we spend a lot of time doing something that we may not ultimately be our responsibility to do, or if we don't see it correctly, maybe we're not focused in on the things that we should really care about. So that's one of my big questions for tonight. We're going to be talking about what's happening in the world with Dan. Dan, give me a preview of what's happening.
Okay, I got three different things we'll talk about. One is a man who punches another guy in the face because he was reserving a place to sit at their church. And the other dude wanted to try to sit in that area, so he punched him in the face and ran him over in his car.
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah. Another one is a California nanny who refuses to work, but she continued to live in the people's house. They tried to kick her out, and she just stayed. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Supreme Court ruling with the Hobby Lobby that was today.
Okay. All right. Brilliant. Mike, you got some advice for Dear Life from the Path?
Yeah. It's mother-in-law problems, Ben.
Oh, shoot.
That's a shocker.
Yeah. Who needs that kind of troubles?
Yeah, and it's a big bunch of awkward. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, sweet. And then also, I have some advice on Pope style advice. The premise here is that some ne'er do well has convinced a bunch of people that I am indeed the pontiff, and they're all on my lawn, and they say, "Look, we're not going to leave until you walk out on your man balcony and you give us some sort of advice for the week." And I mean, there's thousands upon thousands, myriads and myriads, Buva, and they're waiting for advice from me, the fake Pope. And so I have to give him some Pope-style advice. I think I got some. It's relevant to my life. I hope it's relevant to yours. That's coming up later in the program. Before we get any further, I wanted to give a big shout-out to our two sponsors. These guys are just awesome, and they are great supporters of the show, and they offer great products to boot, which is really cool because, you know, we could have picked up, like, Yoohoo as a sponsor, and then we kind of got, like, half shill for Yoohoo.
But nobody even likes Yoohoo.
And maybe I'm not committed to it, you know?
Yeah.
I like
Yoohoo.
No.
That explains a lot about your personality, Bobo. both of them offer cool things. First of all, Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com. Bob help you buy or sell a house or maybe break into one. I don't know if he does that, but maybe you got one in the market and you say, I just want to take a peep. Maybe Bob will do that for you. Anyway, give him a call. At the very least, say, hey, Bob, thanks for sponsoring Life from the Path. Also, Westfield Veterinary Hospital, that's here in Johnson. Go to WestfieldVetHospital.com and you can set up appointments online. I love this. I don't like dealing with people. I'm in the wrong business. I do like service work in jobs, and I don't like dealing with folk. I like doing things online.
You need to be a numbers guy.
I don't really like crunching numbers either. If there was a job where I could sit on my butt and not like doing two other things as my responsibilities, I could do that.
Like the Hamburglar.
Yeah, very much like the. Actually, that's kind of the radio show gig. Your job is to sit down and not like things around you. And so anyway, go to westfieldvethospital.com. They're awesome. That's where I take my pets. And they not only provide excellent care for your pets, but they'll let you know what needs to be done, what can wait, and they're keeping an eye out both for your pet and your pocketbook. So go to westfieldvethospital.com. Those are your sponsors from Life and the Path. Even if you don't need to, take your dog in or sell a house, buy a house, make sure you get hold of our sponsor. Say, hey, thanks for sponsoring Life and the Path. They're doing the hard work of raising money that keeps us on the air to do the things that actually don't contribute to society at all. And that's our gig. All right, let's fire up with what's happening in the world, Dan. What's happening?
All right. A 52-year-old man is accused of punching another man, hitting him with his car in a dispute over pew space. The fight happened at, during a crowded service and included a baby blessing and a missionary farewell. The authorities said the man accused of doing the punching sat in a section that another family had saved in hopes of getting a good view of the baby blessing. He's been ordered to spend 30 days in jail and has to complete an anger management class and pay a fine. So here's the question. How would you respond if someone sat in an area at church that you were saving for your family? Okay, big deal, right? A, you snooze, you lose. The other family members will have to find their own spot when they get there. B, move to a new spot, even if it isn't the one you really want, because that's what servants do. Or C, punch them in the face and run them over with your car.
Oh, man, that this story even exists, it makes me sick. Seriously. Like, here's the deal. This isn't even a church issue. This should not be happening anywhere. It should not be happening anywhere where we're fighting over territory as to where to put your butt for like 40 minutes. And it certainly shouldn't be going on in the church. What was the second option?
Move to a new spot even if it isn't the one you really want.
Yeah, move to a new spot.
You're in with B?
Yeah, I'm in with B.
I think I'm going to go combination of A and B. You don't absolutely have to sit next to your family, but if you have to, move to a different spot. I don't think it's that.
Wait, my family stays and I move?
They're coming for the big baby blessing.
I don't care.
Yeah, so your kid's getting the baby blessing, and then like the in-laws who don't ever go to church, grandma's flying
like
in from Little Rock.
If it's that big of a deal that your family needs to all sit together, move to a place where
what does it mean to sit together?
Yeah, what's
like so I can whisper and otherwise not pay attention to what's going on?
That's what I'm saying. I don't care.
There is something to it because you don't invite people to church and then set them down on the
see
other side
after
of the
service.
Hold on, there's something.
I think that's actually hysterical to do.
There's something
like,
about.
Hey, do you want to come to church and not hang out with me?
There's something about sitting next to people in general, right? Church or otherwise, people that you're with. But like, if I got 10 folks in the line, I'm not really sitting next to Uncle Tom, who's 9 people down.
Yeah, but he's sitting next to somebody he recognizes.
Okay, well, so move in shifts.
That's what I'm saying. If
move
it's
shifts like Qbert.
Get up every 5 minutes.
Hopping over
right.
people.
Not like shift around, but like, I don't know, set a couple there, set 3 or 4 over there. Uncle Tom married the woman. He can sit next to, you know, Aunt Danica Susie. Or whatever.
Now, hold on. This is outrageous. It depends on what this church looks like. Like, if the rows are like only 6 chairs deep and you brought 15 people, it is outrageous to expect a 15-man line. On the other hand, if there's a 20 line of chairs, And some knock-kneed doofus sits right in the middle of the row, and you're like, hey, my family's in from town. Would you mind if we all, kind of sat together?
Yeah, okay, let's play it. Yeah, I mind. I'm sitting here.
That's outrageous.
What does it have to do with anything? That's where my butt is.
Why do I got to be the server here? I'm priding up.
You be the servant.
Get out of the way.
I'm not here for whatever your Jesus speak is. I'm here to see them dunk that baby.
That's why my grandma's here.
Well, good. I'm glad she made it and she's not dead yet. I'm not moving.
Why are you sitting in the middle of the pew?
This is where I want to sit. The lighting's good for my selfie.
The lighting is good. Church selfie. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. You really persuaded me.
What kind of conversation happens that the guy punches him in the face during church?
Yeah.
I don't know. He probably, it's Mike versus Mike. Like, he ran into some obstinate guy who refused to move.
That is awesome.
Some other guy who refused.
Yeah,
like,
you know, that would not go well.
I was going to say, I can't imagine a conversation between two of you is going very well.
I took a picture of your license plate. I took a picture of your license plate.
I am interested in the chain of events, though. So, like, did he punch him in the face in the sanctuary and then, like, follow him out and then run him over with the car?
I believe it happened during a crowded service. So the punch took place inside the building. Obviously, the car situation outside. So maybe it just continued later
like
on after the
spilled out,
or
he held on to it.
Yeah, like he saw him coming out, and then he's like,
he was already in his car waiting.
It's the sitter.
That's right.
Take this, Mike.
I got separated. This got separated from my grandma for 20 minutes. He will pay.
Hold my cup of coffee. I'm hitting this guy.
Eric, where are you at on this thing?
This sounds like a death race 50-point bonus for hitting your enemy.
Oh. I love you, but this is going to hurt.
This is going to hurt a lot.
Love Christ follower. No, but seriously, I do love you. Jesus said to, and I do.
Sincerely, that was my pew.
That's right. Here's the right hand of fellowship. Whiz bang.
Really playing out the letter of the law here, and 2 points.
I'm going with B, except for I think I could go with B and actually be all right with that. I would just get up if they were going to, like, you know, baby dedicate my kid, or, you know, like, I would sit somewhere else, and then I'd just get up and stand by the stage when the dedication was happening. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Would you sit behind him and, like, taunt him? And otherwise make loud remarks like, okay, our family can't sit together because that guy won't move. We'll go to the back.
Wonder what my son looks like.
I wonder if I have gray hair like that. Hey, I wonder if that wart is cancerous.
Really?
You think my ear hair is as long as that guy's?
I would just sit uncomfortably close to the guy.
You can't. That's the point.
Nope. I'm ditching my family.
No, you can sit on him. There's an option.
That's I'm
an
ditching assault. My family for revenge.
So was punching a guy in the
face. Yeah, so was punching a dude in the face and running him over.
I'm not saying he handled it correctly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I would just kind of disappear, too. I mean, it's like in the middle of, you know...
I think you could slide somebody on a pew.
Point it, Dan.
Yeah, thanks.
Anyway.
Now, hold on. Now, let me ask you this. Would you...
That's all I've got.
I would disappear. Let me ask you this. Would you do the same thing at your daughter's high school graduation? You got there, and you were getting a prime seat, and then, like, you know, somebody would... There were so many people there, you weren't even allowed to sit in the lower 48. You ended up in the balcony and completely could not even recognize your daughter.
Well, first of all, there's something about me. I hate it when my family says, would you save me a spot?
Yeah, yeah, I don't like that either.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to save 19 spots and try to spread my coat out, you know, it's just, yep. No, I won't.
You know, laying on a bunch of chairs.
Sir, is there someone sitting here?
My trench coat is sitting
crazy.
Here.
Exactly. I'm sorry, did you not notice my socks and shoes?
You see one
and
cough
shirt?
Drop on each.
Yeah. I like my wares to be comfortable while I wait.
It's just a very uncomfortable thing, and I hate it when people do that, too. I think it's selfish.
So wait,
like, if they're not here, they're not here.
I've messed with people in movie theaters like that, though. I'll tell people, oh, no, that seat's taken. Oh, that, yep. No, that one, too? Yeah. So, those two? Sorry. So the whole row, actually. And I see if people will move. It's hysterical. I'm that guy. I think it's funny. I'm just saying.
There is a certain brand of man that finds that funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his name's Booba.
I feel like punching you in the face and hitting you with my car for your baby.
This guy happened to live in Utah.
Hey, speaking of awkward interactions, though, so like I was at the Perkins this morning with a guy, and they have this sign out that says pancakes, all you can eat, $5.99 from like 9 p.m. to close. But it's a 24-hour Perkins. And we're in there at, say, like 7:05. So we're like, we should be able to pick up these cakes, you know? And they said, no, it stops at 6. Like, it says 9 to close, and you don't close. I feel like these cakes should be $5.99. But, like, that's about as far as I could take, because then the manager comes out, and she's like, I hear you have a problem.
Seriously?
I'm like, I was just inquiring about your menu and these cakes. And she says, no, that stops at 6. I thought, I just didn't know what else to say. She's
yes,
like,
ma'am.
Yeah, I know, right?
And are you guys missing the irony about your 9 to close statement? Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't like, ha-ha, no, that doesn't work. She goes, and here was the explanation, though. She goes, well, a lot of the Perkins, most of the Perkins are open 24 hours, but some close. That's why it says that. And I said, I'm thinking, like, you mean your propaganda? Although most of your places don't close, you made, like, these for everybody to represent the 10 stores that do. Now, that way, that makes a lot of sense. Really, there's a sharp ticking over at the marketing department at the Perkins. I thought, you could at least 6 a.m. if 24 hours. I don't know. What would it take to get an asterisk in there? Anyway, I feel like they should have given us the cakes for $5.99 as a caveat and say, now that you know. But it was an awkward interaction.
That was about as good as Boova's story.
No,
go
I know.
Ahead, Dan.
Just end it with, and then I found $5. That's the best way
that's
to do
true.
It.
And I'm that guy. That's why. I think it's funny.
I was going to say, we've got Dan who mumbles and me who just makes everything about myself.
Because I'm that guy. All right.
Okay, here's another one.
Even Dan's mumbling.
California nanny refuses to work. A 64-year-old woman was hired on Craigslist to... basically, it was a trade. She'd get room and board for light housekeeping and watching these three young children while a mom worked from home. She was starting a business. The woman worked for a few weeks, and then she just stopped and confined herself to her bedroom, only came out when they were eating. So it came out for supper. Family terminated her position following a month of this going on. She refused to move out, threatened to sue the family for wrongful termination and abuse of elderly.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's played this tune before.
She has. Family contacted the police. They said they have to go through the eviction process, which is, I understand, a pretty lengthy deal. Woman claims to have COPD, starts breathing heavily when they ask her, like, to wash the dishes, but yet she somehow manages to go swimming or to museums. Does that quite well.
I get winded at museums myself.
She finally, after a bunch of court battles, said she'll be out by July 4th if it's not too hot outside.
Okay.
I seriously need to pick up this job.
Here's the question. How would you treat the elderly woman if she were in your home?
Oh, man.
One, A, with respect and dignity, because we are to respect our elders, and Jesus said to forgive 70 times 7. Two, put a combination lock on the bathroom doors and only tell the family the code. Or C, three, I would physically pick her up and remove her from my house and threaten her with violence if she enters my home again.
Okay. I'm not against B, actually. I mean, here's the deal. Like, you can forgive completely, but you're going to be doing that a lot if you keep putting yourself in the exact same position. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I'd feed her. Absolutely. I think I would put the... Yeah, I'm all right with the combination lock on the can. That seems reasonable to me.
She may just go in her room.
That's all right. It's not my room.
Do you just keep her in there for, I mean... eternity?
She can come out anytime she wants. Here's the deal. If I was, I think it would almost be, it would make me happier just to continue to feed her and act like she's just now part of the family. But I feel like I don't know that I could convince the rest of my household to go along with that.
No, right. So the barrier here is that it's is that you're trying to get her out. If you just accept that she's going to live there, your life actually changes much to the positive.
Yeah, your perspective is totally flipped about, and you're like, you know what? We just gained a person.
And there are three small children. One's an infant. I mean, they're
now, she is a shifty wick, though.
Yeah, do you want to have that person in there with your children? I don't know.
I suppose as long as she's not doing heroin or something.
It doesn't seem like she's like a detriment to the family.
She's
well,
not doing heroin. That's a problem. That's where my line is.
Doris, get out here.
Is that smack?
I smell a burning spoon. What is that?
I said no tar in here, and I meant it.
Take your white angel and get out. I don't even know what you're saying.
It's a brand of toilet paper. Don't worry about it. Don't bring that cheap toilet paper in there. Charmin only for these cheeks.
Extra soft.
Yeah, so wait, was that, is it an option just to change your attitude towards it?
Yeah.
Is that the A option?
A was pretty much just accept that she's there.
Yeah. Well, that's probably foundational to me, is I would just accept that she's there and change my attitude about it. And then, I don't know, ultimately work our way out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you'd have to know her well enough to know, you know, that she, maybe that's just her game. Like
you did meet her on Craigslist. I mean,
when the
they've done her a month at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, I suppose. I mean, you can't obviously can't count on her to babysit the children. But
can you just lock her out when she goes swimming?
She's considered a tenant. That's the problem, because then she can sue.
Oh yeah,
right.
And obviously she's done this before. Like this is a seasoned pro about getting money out of folks, and so I feel like she's going
to
win.
This woman had to quit her new business even because it wasn't working.
Okay, well, yeah, wait, so maybe I'm a combination of solutions. One, I embrace the fact that she's there and treat her like family. Two, I start the eviction process.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I can legally get rid of her once it's time, but it didn't cause me resentful behavior and otherwise a negative attitude while it's going on.
Yeah, that's a win-win.
Yeah.
What's that, Dan?
I'm taking the combo answer.
One and two, A and B. All right.
Is that acceptable?
B, I guess.
I thought B was locked the bathrooms.
Yeah, B is locked the bathrooms.
I'm going to stick with that, yeah. I was kind of happy with that answer.
I think I'd have a hard time not physically removing her, even though I knew it was legally not
legal. You beefed up that with, like, physical violence.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't just physically remove her. Yeah, it was threaten her with physical violence.
She's in my home.
I'm going to pick up and put
you
outside.
You're picking up Doris, walking her outside, and then shaking a fist at her like, why I oughta.
Then I'm going to throw thumbtacks at you while you're on the road. You know, I mean, you like, we went way over the top with it.
I might be cleaning some of my guns and say, hey, by the way, some of these go off during the night.
Elderly people are not afraid of that.
Yeah,
you could get teenage boys with that. Behavior.
Some of these go off during the night. Is that what you just said about the gun? It can happen.
You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. :, I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:32.
Didn't say anything about an old woman.
Solid, Dan.
Bring on the restoration movement.
Okay. Last. I don't know if you even know how funny that was.
I don't.
Okay, last one. Supreme Court. This is the big news today. Supreme Court rules in favor of Hobby Lobby. Supreme Court ruled the businesses can cite religious objections in order to opt out of a requirement to provide free. Now, the media has been using this differently. It's actually post-conception pregnancy ending coverage is what we're talking about here. The decision marks the first time the courts ruled that a for-profit business can cite religious views under federal law. People on one side of the issue say it's a great day for religious liberty. People on the other side say it's not their boss's business how they choose to handle birth control. There tends to be no middle ground between people on either side of this issue. Either you believe it's a child, or you believe it's an extension of the mother and it's a mother's choice. There's no real gray area there, no middle ground. So here's the question. If you were a business owner and the law said you had to provide post-conception pregnancy termination, it's an abortion, benefits to your employees, what would you do? I would comply with the law whether I like it or not. B, I would go bankrupt to jail or court before providing such benefits. Or C, I would sell my business and get a new line of work.
C, I'm a strong C. I'm faithful in the means. If what I'm doing, if what is being required of me, I cannot be faithful in the means to continue to do so, I simply sell the business. That's where I'm at.
I mean, isn't that the guns don't kill people, I kill people argument, though? Like, let's say you're a knife salesman, and a guy stabs a guy. You going to quit selling knives now?
No.
You didn't force him to do that.
No, I agree with that.
So how is that benefit not the same? Like, it is available to them, but they don't have to use it.
Yeah, but these aren't used for filleting fish. They have exactly one purpose.
If you choose to use them.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be the same as if I sold, cyanide pills. You know, like... Yeah. There's only one way to use it. I'm producing something that cannot produce a moral good in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And so, yeah, I just have to get out of, it's not a big deal. I just have to get out of business. I have to do something else with my life. Like, what am I holding on to if I feel like
Yeah, but what are you going to go? You're going to go work for a company that offers the same benefit. Now what's the difference? You're just not perpetuating it? That's the only difference?
Well, there are other governmental systems out there. Could move to another country where they don't require it.
No, that's true. You could leave the country.
Yeah, it would eventually diminish the economic
Eric,
power of the United States.
That is your solution for everything. You should just leave whatever country you're in.
No, I'm just extending Ben's option. He said I would go to a different venue, and I'm saying I would go to a different venue internationally.
I don't know. I feel like that's the exact same argument. Like, it doesn't matter what business you're in. Someone can take whatever you're doing and use it for nefarious means, and now you have to be out of business.
Yeah, I mean,
you're contributing. I mean, you're paying Social Security, a corrupt system. You're paying into welfare, also a corrupt system. You know what I'm saying? There's people robbing that system left and right, and you're still staying in business, being part of it.
Yeah, but I mean, that would be the same discussion as if you distribute food to the homeless, or give money to the homeless. Some guys, some will buy booze with it. Some will buy food with it.
Uh huh.
That doesn't mean I don't continue to give money, I guess.
That's what I'm saying.
Except, yeah, but in that example, somebody is buying food with it, even though some are buying booze with it. In the example of what we're talking about,
but you're,
there's not a positive benefit.
Yeah, but
for
you're
it.
Buying health care coverage. Some people are having babies with them, legitimately are doing, some are using it to fix broken bones, and some are doing it for more nefarious reasons.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
That just sounds like the same argument to me.
Yeah, but that's not what the issue is. They're not asking about, can we be exempt from health care coverage in general? They're citing specific moral issues that they have, and they're itemizing it.
Yeah, but the discussion was, is if that is not a caveat that's allowed, are you going out of business because of that?
You're asking the responsibility of the perpetrator. So basically, Mike, what you're saying is that if I don't have the choice to line item it, okay, I either have to provide it or not provide it. There are other things that you provide that people will use for nefarious means. And so, aren't you just as culpable in that? Why are you making such a distinction here?
Yes.
That's my
question. I feel like if you went down the line and put that much thought into everything and every person you run into in life, you literally couldn't move.
No, it's
everything you touch is sinful in some way.
No, I think that's probably true. I would just like personally, it's enough. It's enough for me. I think I feel like I would have trouble considering that being faithful in the means, and I would just bow out. Because, like, what about my role as a Christ follower says that I run a business?
It's not required.
Right. I mean, I can do something else with my life.
Yeah, I guess I just don't. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I don't know that that's something I disagree with, but, like, you're literally going to either have to leave the country or go work for another company that is doing the exact same thing. And so you took the opportunity that you know, per se, to run a business and affect employees and run a business in a way that honors God, and then you gave all that up to go work for another guy that's just going to provide it either way.
Yeah, so the question is, there's a distinction between me as the provider or me as part of a system where someone else is providing.
Right.
Right, that's the question.
Yeah. I think there's a responsibility that you as the provider have. Unfortunately, this is one that you don't really have a choice as the provider. The government kind of took that away from you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So
yeah, I'd fight it all the way.
Would you fight it B route or C route?
I'd go B.
B? You'd go bankrupt?
I'd go to, whatever. Yeah, give me the fees, give me the fines, whatever, it's on you. I'm going to stand up for
okay. Protection
of the children. Boova.
I think I'm going to have to agree with Dan. I'm trying to wrap my head around being, you know, the provider and just the part of the system and stuff like that, but I don't think that I'd be able to just accept it, so I think that I would fight it, and I wouldn't probably just leave the business. I would probably just go on trying to figure out how to not have to do that.
Are you fighting it now?
What do you mean?
You're not a business owner.
No, I'm not.
The broad principle that Dan is defending exists today. Like, Dan's not, like, what you're not saying is you're when you're saying protect the children, you're not arguing about the mandate. What you're arguing about the broad principle that the mandate otherwise supports.
I'm saying if the government tells me I have to pay for someone to kill their child, I won't do it.
The government's funding that already with your tax dollars.
But they're saying they want me to fund it.
You are funding it. You're paying tax dollars.
No, I'm talking about directly through insurance.
That's a weird distinction. So I don't know.
I feel like my point is just being proven on its own. I don't have to do anything. I guess what I'm wondering is
what you guys are saying seems a little bit like I'll wait till it shows up at my doorstep. Like, if the underlying principle is a problem, you should be fighting that anyway.
Riveting.
I look at it as a different type of responsibility if you're the one actively perpetrating something, as opposed to someone who is just passively. You know, I could stop this, but I'm not going to, type of a thing.
Yeah.
And that's a different type of a scenario that you're in. So essentially the government has required that you actively perpetrate something.
So you're basically pressed to a move where you otherwise could have chosen not to move. You don't have a choice. You have to react to a circumstance around you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. All right.
And you're not stopping them from doing it. They can do it. You're not going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that is actually the broad distinction. I think something like that whole discussion gets framed a little weird. It's not saying that, in all honesty, nothing is saying that people cannot use these things. The question is just whether the business is paying for it, or whether the person who's actually enacting doing it is paying for it themselves. Mm-hmm. That's actually really the distinction. It's not you're not answering an abortion question. You're not answering a women's rights question. All you're asking is who's footing the bill for those things.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, there's your answer to your question, Dan. I'm still out.
Well, I feel like you got a lot of decisions to make if that's going to be the case. Like, they force most small businesses to have insurance. Insurance deny claims on perfectly legitimate people all the time. They also are known for some pretty shady deals, right? So now you're not going to have insurance now? How are you ever going to run a business? Ever? There's nothing you can be a part of that isn't shaky.
Maybe as a guy that would be responsible as the perpetrator, maybe I don't.
And so you go work for a shaky character. I just don't see your distinction.
Yeah. I it's not that I don't hear what you're saying. I feel there's a difference as to what I am, can control, right? Like, I'm still a human, right? There's I'm limited on the amount of things that I can actually control. Now, the truth is I could actually bail from society and farm and live on my own on a 2-acre plat and not have to deal with anybody. That's not off the table for me, I guess.
Yeah.
it may be where my logical thought actually ends up taking me.
Yes, it is off the table for you. Yeah. As a Christ follower, you need to impact society.
No,
there's no way that you can impact society as a business owner under the terms that you guys have set. Like, there can be no Christian business owners.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Okay. As long as we're agreed there, then I guess I'm done.
All right. Well, let's step it up a bit further. Do you, as a Christian business owner, then go out and employ people who are of morally irrepute?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah.
Aren't you culpable for their actions?
Well, I mean, I got to hire somebody.
Is the case that everyone is of ill repute?
I mean, I'm not out like, hey, are you of ill repute? I can use an untrustworthy guy at my place. You know, but like, hey, I need a cashier. Hey, welcome to being a cashier. Listen, I run a Christian business here. Jesus is going to show up. Okay, you cool with that? I'm cool with that. Let's run a shop. Go. I don't know what else to do. I can't go out hiring Christians. They're untrustworthy.
They punch people in the face.
I can't even sit out and have a get together on a Sunday morning.
I don't know. Like, actually, so it's weird. As you were talking, Dad, I actually think I am a bit of the middle ground guy when it comes to this particular court decision. I don't think businesses are not Christian. Like, we talked about that last week. Like, so I have a Christian business. It's just not accurate. Like, your business does not have a soul. It is not a Christian business. So I'm not sure that I like the basically what the Supreme Court landed was is that a closely run business can be considered Christian for those purposes and require religious protection if it's not a public company, if it's run by like a specific small set of people who have these beliefs. I don't know. I'm not sure that I actually agree with the precedent of that. Like the outcome, I can get on board with, but like the precedent itself, I'm not sure that I actually agree with. So there you go. I'm the middle ground guy. Okay. That's it. Is that everything? That's what's happening in the world?
That's what's happening.
Good way we resolve that one. You can now make definitive decisions on what we came to with that discussion.
Yeah, I'll just call everybody I know, tell them to go out of business. What the heck, you know? There's not pristine robes on you yet. I guess you got to go work for somebody else.
I'm trying to think through this to validate whether I'm thinking about this correctly. So what's another circumstance that is similar to that, that as a business owner, I would have no choice but to take part of today?
Okay, so and you didn't find the insurance to be valid. That it's required that you have insurance. Insurance is sketchy.
People what do you mean insurance is sketchy?
Yeah, people are robbing money all the time.
That's like last week saying that don't deal with Hobby Lobby because they buy things from China and some people in China are sketchy.
No, every bit of insurance is sketchy. How about
Insurance is fundamentally gambling and you for some reason feel that gambling is immoral?
But I don't feel that gambling is immoral.
Hypothetically.
Well, I can't answer.
How about paying taxes to a city that doesn't sustain their money correctly?
I don't know. I give money to my kids; they don't use their money correctly.
But what if it's Nazi Germany, and
they're monsters?
Okay,
no, and then King Kong shows up.
I mean, argument just went invalid right there.
No. We're talking about human beings, but people don't think about it that way because it's a choice or it's a baby, right? Let's go to humans. Let's say it's Nazi Germany, and they want you as a business owner to hand in any people who have Jewish descent because they're going to take them to a concentration camp.
Right. I just don't do that.
Yeah.
Wasn't that my response? I feel like that's my broad position on things.
Mike's in. He says, well, hey, people are corrupt.
Everyone's doing it.
Better stay out of here.
Got to protect myself.
I don't know what to tell you, Von Schwartz. You best stay down the road. I got to turn you in.
Yeah, I'd be one of those guys hiding them.
Okay, all right. Are we saying that does my position mean that I wouldn't hide them? Is that the thing? I'm saying that I won't be a business. Well, that, I don't know. That's a broad corruption. I don't know. I'm sticking with where I'm at for now. I'm not necessarily a wise man. I'd have to keep thinking on the outcome of whatever I said. But like, I think my immediate reaction is like in places where I cannot be faithful in the means, I have a responsibility to do something different. Like,
but it's not you.
It is me.
What do you mean it's you?
Because I don't have to do that. I don't have to be the perpetrator of that.
We just went through this last week, though. Like, every time you stock at Taco Bell, you're contributing to some kind of delinquency. Like, how far removed from you does it have to be before you can't control it?
No, actually, that's true. I don't believe in boycotts.
See, this isn't even the law, though. This is not part of the law. This is a government agency who decided to do these abortion pills. And so, basically, Hobby Lobby is saying, okay, that's really nice. That's cute. You want us to do this? No. You're not going to force us to murder children.
That was not the question you asked, Dan. You asked if we were forced to do what we do as a business owner.
No, that's true. That is what you asked.
How did I change it?
Because you brought it into the real life situation, which is they're not being forced to because of the decision today. But the question you asked was, if we're being forced to, what do you do as a business owner? Yeah.
Well, they were forced to, and they just said no.
But they're not being forced to.
All right, well, hypothetically.
Because they fought it.
Hypothetically, if the decision went the other direction, what would you as the CEO of Hobby Lobby do?
Wouldn't do it. I'd let him fine me. I'm sure I might end up going bankrupt and then working for someone else, but...
That's okay.
I'll go
that.
Down fighting.
And you'd go, hey, what do you want me to do? I did the best I could.
Yeah.
I basically got rid of everything I had, wasted every dime I had to no effect, and now I'm working for another guy that's going to pay for abortions for somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Solid.
Mike's basic problem runs into... I guess what I'm thinking, Mike, is like, at what point do you not compromise then? At what point do you say, I am perpetrating something that I do not believe in, and I will not let this continue. I will get out of this situation. Or do you say it never happens? That's just the way of the world.
Some things are the way of the world.
I'm asking you when. Like, what circumstance would you be like, that's too much?
I suppose if they forced me to do it, I suppose then we'd have a problem.
So paying for it's okay,
because the decision is still in somebody else's court whether it happens or not. That's not my decision on whether they choose to do it or not.
That seems like a...
I get what you're saying, but it's the alternative that I have an issue with, right?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I'm not down with that. But like the alternative to what you're saying doesn't seem right either. Like you could literally not walk two steps in this world without being a party to or encouraging some behavior.
Do you pay taxes knowing that some of the federal money might go to support?
Yes.
Okay, well.
That puts me in the same boat.
I guess you're heading for the homestead. Good night, John boy.
Yeah. No, that's the truth of it. I don't know.
I mean, unless you're sending in your taxes to the IRS with like 97% of it and say, I've estimated this 3% is what you send to things I find immoral, so I'm keeping that.
No, and I suppose the truth is, like, but there's a render to Caesar what is Caesar's, right? Mm-hmm. And so the question is the law of the land otherwise Caesar's? Is are you rendering, say, the insurance to people that
they are accountable? The lawmakers are accountable to where that money is used. You're just doing your part
because I'm required to. And Caesar, obviously, I mean, Augustus was not a morable man. So I suppose in the terms of the tax money, I don't know what that speaks to. Say to what we've been talking about.
Yeah, but when you're considering business, fines and fees are very much an option, and still within your profit margins, you can continue running your business that way.
Oh no,
you could just eat the fines and fees.
No, you could. Absolutely. Yeah, you have that option. That. Yeah, it was extensive though. Like if I remember what the fees were, like they wouldn't have been able to remain.
I guess I just don't. I'm missing the overall benefit of you taking a company. We're not calling it a Christian business, but a business that was run by a Christian, hopefully with some integrity and some principles from the Bible. Right, and your opportunity to influence some people around you and within your structure, and you throwing that away to go, you know, be a cog in a corporate somewhere, and nothing changed. The guys that used to work for you are working for somebody else with the exact same availability.
Yeah.
I get the stance. I'm not for it, right? But, like, I guess I just don't. Maybe the alternative. I can't agree to the alternative. I think I can agree that, you know, I wouldn't want to pay that. Obviously, I wouldn't want to give people the option to do something that I don't approve of. But on the other hand, like, I can't stop anybody from doing it. I can't stop the whole world from doing bad things. What am I supposed to do?
So, okay. Let's think. I'm going to think about that for a week. I'm going to come back to you and put some thought on it.
Put it on the table.
And see what I think about that. Okay. Is that it? That's what's happening with Dan?
That's it.
All right. You know, this actually kind of leads into my base question here. And there was an article I read about a pastor who had made a stand on marijuana, about legal marijuana, and he's got all kinds of flack for it. Let me just read a little bit of this from me, and I'll tell you what I want to focus in on. He basically says, all my Christian life, I was told that drinking beer meant I wasn't a good Christian. I didn't love Jesus enough and didn't care about causing people to stumble, he said, and that's not in the Bible. Jesus never said it, and it's not true. However, he did say the Bible is clear on the sin of drunkenness and intoxication. He also explains that he wants to clarify earlier remarks he made on marijuana in terms of medical usage. I got a bunch of kids in the special needs ministry. The cannabis oil is saving their life. I can't make blanket statements. All times, all people. Drinking alcohol in moderation doesn't make you an addict, doesn't make you a bad Christian, and being a Christian doesn't mean you have to be bored, weird, freaky person who doesn't have fun. How about this? I'm done with religion, stupid rules that somebody other than Jesus thought up for my own good. How about this? Come and see Jesus. He'll tell me how to live my life. He's enough. Screw the rest. And then he said, I've had several parents who were using the cannabis oil for their kids with autism, and I had one who moved from the East Coast back because of legalization here. The oils actually slow down the tumor of their infant son. He said, I came back and said, we can't make blanket statements about everything. I'm not for recreational marijuana. I'm not for drunkenness and things like that. I'm also not for people coming up with lists of litmus tests for faith. They can't point to a Bible verse and say absolutely not at all times. And so one of the things that he said that I thought was really interesting is this. I'm not going to tell you what you have to do to be a good Christian. If you don't do this to be a bad Christian, that puts some onus on him to wrestle through that. And the person, they don't have to come and ask me, but they do. So I point them back to Scripture. Ephesians says, "Don't be drunk on wine; be filled with the Holy Spirit." So you have to really, really wrestle through that and come to your own conclusion. And I think he was giving an example of a guy who wanted me to tell him what to do, and I wouldn't do that. And basically, his deal is like people are asking him to like. At what point are we stepping in and being their Holy Spirit for them? Like, are we taking the place of the Holy Spirit and saying, it's our job to convict you. It's our job to tell you how to react in certain situations. It's our job to parse out all these distinctions that we feel like maybe aren't as clear as we'd like them to be. And so the question is broadly, where's the right place to sit? Is he too far back saying, look, you got to work that out? Or is the right position to say, look, our job is to love you. It's to point you back to God and to the Scripture. But like, the convicting of these things, like that's a you and the Holy Spirit deal. Like, it is not our responsibility to parse all that out. Where does that sit?
I imagine a model is very similar to parenting. You've got a couple of years with someone, you walk along with them and try and teach them how to approach the world as a parent. Same sort of thing developing with our spiritual life and with the people that we're called to, you know, shepherd in a sense.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm trying to follow Jesus. Here's the best understanding that I have. Come and model Jesus as I have as best I can, but I'm trying to point you towards a direction of maturity at which you can handle and approach the Holy Spirit yourself. So to some extent we do play a surrogate role at times, but it's not a long-term thing. It's not something that I can say, hey, here's my list of thou shalt nots. You will either comply or else. I mean, that's harder. So
I mean, like, is it if you see, I'm trying to think of his example. He's had, like, people approaching him and say, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? Is it right to say, look, you know, unless it's explicitly in Scripture, it's really not my place to tell you, like absolutes. It's to say, look, that's a you and the Holy Spirit thing. I can point to you what I know about Scripture and then kind of leave you be.
Yeah.
Mike?
I think that's kind of, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dave.
I think that's kind of where I fall on that, too. You know, people ask me things, and I'm like, I can't answer. You know, there are things you can't just directly answer, and there's some things I can tell you why it's wrong for me. I can tell you why I will not do that, but I can't tell you that Jesus said not to in certain instances. And there's sometimes I do things other people think, oh, you shouldn't do that. And like, well, if you can show me why, so far I haven't seen in Scripture, you know, where that's an issue.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about the culture in general, then I think we have a responsibility to kind of help protect them from themselves. But that's a whole different issue.
No, that's actually a similar principle to me. Private or public, like, what is our responsibility as moral arbiters?
Mm-hmm. And I go back and forth on that too. I mean, I debate myself on like legislating morality.
Yep.
Well, then what do you do? Legislate immorality? Because that's what they're doing now in a lot of cases. So what's right, what's wrong, what protects our culture, what protects our society? I would lean more toward legislating some areas of morality, more, maybe more broad. But again, I debate myself on that and go back and forth of because who cares if you have a nice, clean, moral society, but they don't know Jesus, so they end up going to hell anyway.
That's right. Are you creating a straw man? Are you making something that looks like somebody that is going to make it into the kingdom of heaven, but really is not.
Right.
Right. And I
that doesn't help anybody.
That's right. But I mean, on the whole, I mean, do you want it all right for everybody to go around killing people? Right. We don't want that either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, it depends on where your morality is, you know, coming based out of. Right. And I think that was probably the same. Well, you know, I don't know. It's tough either way. Be like, because I generally fall probably on the side of, look, you talk to him about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will handle this. Right, like, you can't. What do you expect from people? Right, when they legislate something that says, "Hey, we're gonna be okay with," you know, something that is against the Bible. I'm like, well, you know, what do you expect? Places run by a bunch of people who don't know Jesus, right? It's gonna happen.
Right.
I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. They're trying to run a gas engine on diesel. Like, that's what they're trying to take the machine that God created and they're trying to run it on different fuel, and it's gonna end up running out. and not being not performing how God designed it. But like, there's nothing I can do for them unless they want to talk about changing the fuel. And so, like, I think, and maybe that's too simplistic of an argument, but like, I don't know how to change a structure like that.
Okay, but is there a benefit for someone who isn't a Christ follower, but or a, at least not a Christ believer, but is still following some of the principles that he lives by?
There's an earthly benefit to it.
Okay.
Which is temporary.
Right.
And so probably not really worth, I mean, if you're looking at eternity as a timeline, you know, I guess I'm happy for you. You had a good 10, 15 years, you know, on an earth that you were no longer live in for the rest of your days. I feel like we've wasted time. We should have just talked about Jesus. And I mean, I don't know. I just feel like the conversation any other way is gets convoluted and stuck in the weeds and misses the point.
All right. Well, how about a different approach then? Do we have the ability then to affect our environment? And in so doing, we kind of change the soil to make it more readily acceptable to the seeds of the Gospels as it's planted.
I don't know. I feel like that's the Holy Spirit's business. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not I don't run the ship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just go, hey, ship man, where do you want me to go? I'll go where you tell me to go. You want me to till soil, not till soil? I don't know. I'm just the guy with the rake.
That's always been my my issue, is because I understand where a lot of Christ followers come from when they want to change the legislation and they want to move towards, you know, really changing the way that the government looks at these things and getting back to like the Pledge of Allegiance being said in school. I mean, all the different stuff, and I see that. I see benefits of it, but I also agree with Mike when it comes to the standpoint of, am I honestly going to be affecting their lives more by standing at a podium and talking about why homosexuality is wrong and why we shouldn't allow same-sex marriage, or am I going to be better by talking individually to people and going to them straight and talking to them in a standpoint of honestly talking to their heart, rather than, hey, God says this is wrong, I'm not allowing this in my legislation, versus going and talking to them specifically and saying, hey, you know, let's talk about where Jesus is at. How are you doing? Maybe I'm causing a difference where there shouldn't be, but that's always been my issue, is because I don't know how much I should stand behind trying to force morality on the government versus trying to talk to people one-on-one and winning hearts over for God.
I feel like I got... See, here's the thing, though, is like... I agree with my own rationale, right? I draw too black and white of a line. Stuff don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what I'm saying. I'm drawing a difference where there isn't one.
Like, it's probably one of the major things that I struggle with, but I have a problem with ears to hear. I'm like, now's the time. Ears or no ears, let's do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to meet you where you're at. It's Jesus time, you know. And so that goes to Herrick's point where about the soil, right? Like, I don't know where that moral. Because here's the thing: like, I don't have any reason for my morality apart from Christ. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, there's base morality that all major societies from the beginning of time have tended to agree upon. You know, we differ on here and there about some things, but like, mostly, you know, there's attributes and there's things that there's a morality that most people agree upon, and like, that's the proof that a lot of atheists will find that they end up turning to God, because they just can't find any reason why everyone would agree on any type of morality, right? Usually it's in the eye of the beholder. Whatever I decide is moral is moral. And so you know, that makes it makes it kind of hard when you take a base morality that, you know, everyone thinks that it's more there's more benefit in, like, that there's more morality in being selfless than it is selfish, right? Everybody thinks that, right? That there's different ways that plays out. And so when you find the ticks and the notches of where you know, different people's morality goes askew, the only thing I have to point back to on why it's solid with me is because it's in the Bible, right? And that's what God said, and he made the machine. And that's pretty much all I know, because otherwise you really are just arguing difference of opinion with no factual turn back.
Right. And yeah, I completely agree. I think that's one of the biggest distinctions I've had, is the fact that even if you do change the government, that doesn't change hearts. And even if you do change the legislation, that doesn't change hearts.
That's true. Look at Dan's Nazi Germany. Government changed, hearts felt the same. Like, why are we doing this? You know, yeah, but I mean, this would be like if you ran under a dictatorship, that just would mean the rest of the country's like, heck yeah, I love being under a dictatorship. Yeah,
exactly. I'm going to go exactly by what the government's saying. Even if we do change morality in the government, that doesn't mean we're going to change morality in the individual. Whereas I don't think that we're called to change the government. I don't think that we're called to affect that as a system.
I don't think you know that.
What I'm saying
maybe
is...
Maybe you're not called to do it. Maybe somebody else is. It's just
what
not
I'm saying
you.
Is what I can see from what Jesus was doing and things like that. He was overthrowing a government at that point in time when he was around, but he was working in the lives of people.
Yeah.
He was working in the lives of the individuals. Yeah. And he was overthrowing government by working in the lives of people, getting followers, getting them to take up their cross daily, going against the government, saying that they were going to change allegiance to this new thing that they were going with.
Yeah.
It wasn't he was trying to change legislature in the Roman
Senate.
Senate, thank you. He was going and affecting the hearts of individual people.
Well, look how how lazy our church has been. Just go back to whatever, the 50s or something. You have a lot of laws. Well, I mean, that's before my time. And I'm the old guy. You have a lot of laws that had a culture of morality on the outside. You had even the entertainment. You had Leave It to Beaver and you know, the shows that were all moral and clean and everything. Well, it was all like a house of cards because in the undercurrent, there was all kinds of stuff going on. People were being people, you know. And then the church thought, well, everybody's great. You know, we all look alike.
Yeah, whitewashed tombs.
Yeah. We're all happy and we're, you know, and marriages are lasting. They just were being destroyed under the radar. Yeah, thank you. And so now we're kind of just getting rid of all those laws and people are doing what they want. We're all thinking, look how terrible it's getting. Well, I don't know if it's any worse or not. It probably is. But it's still the same stuff that was happening. And now the church is like, I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to share my faith because we quit doing it a long time ago. We were legislating people to act like us, so we assume they were us. When I say us, I'm talking about part of the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so maybe that was a disservice to us. I think with this, the church will be stronger in the culture we're in now because we have to actually think. And actually, we can't sit back and say, yeah. I mean, we really have to go talk to people.
Right.
And just assume they're okay because they act like they're okay.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is we accepted the whitewash tomb. We said, yes, no, that's they're fine. Things are fine. Whatever the appearance is or whatever the appearance of our society has, we've set up the right fences. Things must be all right. And you're right. That was a bit of laziness, but like that also, I think it should be a warning to us about trying to legislate those things. Cause all we're doing is legislating appearances. I mean, what Boo was saying is you know, it's not, you're not changing hearts one way or the other. I don't know of any law that then like someone thinks, oh, now that they've passed this, that points me to Christ.
Yeah. I mean,
now I will know who my Messiah is.
Look at the early church. Rome tried to legislate the Christianity out and it didn't work. Right. I mean, there's really no evidence that you can legislate it back in.
They tried to legislate it in and it didn't work either.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Live from the Path. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us so far. If you're on the podcast, you're listening online, we're just going to take a quick commercial break for the guys on 99.3, and then we will continue with the show. So just give us about 20 seconds, and we'll be right back with you. If you're on KTA, we've got to let you go, but check us out during the week at livefromthepath.org. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Conversation was long. Here's the deal. That Hobby Lobby conversation is a dud. I don't like talking about that stuff. I don't know why. Sometimes I feel like the needles don't move on things like that. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, we had a discussion, and I feel like I just still disagree with you, and you disagree with me. Yeah. You're going to keep running your business. I'm going to have the pagans come in.
Yeah.
Love it.
I don't know. Maybe that falls on one of the Holy Spirit conviction issues, where, like, I just don't know. Like, I know what my reaction is. I don't know whether it's the right one or not. It's like it's an attempt to be Christ-honoring, but it could be my attempt to do what Jesus wants me to do as opposed to Jesus' attempt to get me to do what he wants. That's very possible. I don't know. That's probably the way the world gets jacked up from a Christian perspective is that we see what Jesus said and we say, here's how I'll do that, God. you know,
actually, I feel uncomfortable with Boova's interpretation of the way that Jesus was overthrowing governments. Like, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I feel uncomfortable with it. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's grand scheme is.
I'd say his kingdom he was fighting was a different kingdom.
I feel like he was after the Jews. He was after the Israel.
I'd say he was after Satan.
Yeah.
He already beat Satan.
He's all...
Our struggle's not against flesh and blood, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I guess we just disagree.
Well, but he picked out a specific. I mean, yeah, it's easily all three. I think that you can
fight everybody.
It really is.
It's easily
he's a fighter.
All three.
He's a fighter, not a lover. Oh, wait, no,
I'm just saying, like, I think we run into trouble with this because we get a bunch of revival units. You know, dudes are like, here's the way that the Lord saw things, and like, I can't speak for him, right? Like, we talked about this time and time again. We're not the ends guys, right? Mm-hmm. We're just the means people. And so, like, what's it? Have you ever read the Bible? There's twists and turns all over the place. Like, you're going to guess what the Lord's going to do, or how he's going
to
do it.
I mean, that's the thing, is like, is where it tends to go wrong is we find something we're fired up about and then just assume that Jesus is too. Like, here's what I really care about. I mean, it means a lot to me. Jesus also cares about.
That's right.
Down with Rome. Well, yes. But also, and yes, but also.
And he's going to save the wetlands, because I love the wetlands.
Down with Rome doesn't accomplish your kingdom come. They're different.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think that's where we run risk. And even when it comes to, like, levels of involvement in government, do I think our job is to completely bail from the system? Some don't sniff right about that. I actually like that. That sounds very attractive to me. I don't know that makes sense. If our culture is if there's ways that we can attempt to protect a culture from itself, and those are the means through which it is done, does it make sense to be a part of those means? I think the answer is yes, but that really makes me uncomfortable. Like, I actually would rather bail, but I don't know, something about that it doesn't sit right with me, and so I struggle through it, and it's And I think there's a lot of those things that go on in our society, and we're trying to figure out what gets our energy. I think that's a Holy Spirit listening thing, where, like, as opposed to trying to pick out, like, what we feel like we're made for and then asking God to bless that, and, like, we feel like we're not doing that when we think we're doing things that further the kingdom. I'm not saying give me money, Lord, but what I'm saying is I have this cause, bless that. That's the same thing. We're not asking for $20 in the hand. We're asking for $20 worth of blessing for the, you know, World Wildlife Foundation, whatever we're jazzed about. And so... and that actually centers on my, I'll give you my Pope style advice real quick. So we got a lot of guys on Facebook, they're posting a lot of different stuff. And, my Pope style advice is actually pretty simple here. And the Pope style advice is that if you're going to claim to follow Jesus, you need to keep an eye on how often you are standing still and asking Jesus to follow you. Like, just because Jesus is in the equation, okay, doesn't mean that that's good. It doesn't mean that that's good. Because there's sometimes we can hold beliefs without having any basis of which Jesus actually supports those things. I think what we've taken is we've taken pale pastels of what things that Jesus said, and we've painted a landscape with it, and then said, now here's what that means to sit in that landscape for Jesus, and then he will follow me on this issue, as opposed to here's what he said, I'm willing to submit to that. Because one of the things I think I struggle with is seeing people who see things in the Bible and they say, well, here's what I know is true. God is love. Okay, that's awesome. Like, we agree there, right? But that doesn't mean that he didn't say other things that he said or didn't have a reaction. This is the guy that ultimately judges the world and says, you will go away from me forever. Like, you cannot mash those two together and blindly. Like, there's depth to understanding God is love in the terms of that also being true. And I feel like sometimes what we do is we pick out the thing that we love, and then we say, all right, now I'm going to go over here and Jesus will follow me. And both Jesus and I are in the same conversation, so it's a support. But really what you've done is you've called out something that you believe in strongly, and then you've said, now Jesus supports that. Elton John said that today. You know, Jesus would support this. He'd support this union that I'm involved with. Well, like, that's you calling out what you believe in and then saying Jesus will follow me. My question is, are you allowing Jesus to change you, or are you looking for a support system? Are you looking for a buddy who's got the heavyweight? He's the backer. He's the guy that brings the meat to the table, and you can say you're associated with him. Like, I see a lot of people who I think they're pursuing Christ, but I'm afraid that what they're also pursuing is Christ's support in the things that they care about. And, like, that doesn't mean that you don't have a good heart, but it also means that you're wrong. Because ultimately, like, we were going through Revelation and some youth stuff, and like the big thing is like, are you letting Revelation tell you, like, are you coming to Revelation and saying, hey, here's what I believe, where can I be affirmed? Or am I saying, here's the text and letting it guide me and letting it change what I believe? Am I willing to be changed by Jesus, and am I willing for everything to be changed by it? And I just feel like my Pope style advice is like, if if you're approaching Scripture, if you're approaching God and you're saying, I'm willing to be changed in these areas, but not these, or I'm willing to accept what you say, but only to a limit, or I'm not willing to take your full counsel in, then what you're saying is that I'm not willing to be changed. You're looking to bargain with him. You're looking to say, we'll agree on a few things so I can earn your support and use that to tag along with something else that I feel very strongly about. And it is irrelevant how strong you feel about it. The relevance is how strongly God feels about it. And so that's my Pope-style advice, is like, just be careful that you're not looking just looking for a buddy, or that you're looking to see whether Jesus is following you. The question is, are you willing to drop the thing that you love the most and follow Jesus if he's going somewhere else than that? That's the Pope's advice.
Can you break that down a little bit and just give us kind of an example of, or paint a picture of, what does it look like when a person uses Jesus to legitimize their own choice or legitimize their own whatever it is that they're believing?
Yeah, so I mean, there's actually, I don't choose any big moral thing that people disagree with today. Mm-hmm. You know, be it who you can marry, be it whether you have to marry. We'll stay with that. That seems just an equal opportunity offender. And so someone says, well, you know, Jesus is, God is love, and he wants me to be happy, because if you love people, you want them to be happy. Okay? Now, the Bible doesn't say that, right? The God is love thing you got, and that's true. Mm-hmm. But then what you've done is you've taken that portion of Jesus' character, and you've said, now follow me, because I feel passionately about not being told what to do and not having to change my life. And so I'm not willing to give this up because I love this person. And no, we're not going to marry, because you're not going to force me to do what I don't want to do. But Jesus does, but we're okay with here. Things are fine in this equation because God is love, and that's the truth. And so you've basically taken these are people that, like, straight up, you know, like, would strongly affirm that they are pursuing Christ. But the truth is like, they're pursuing parts of Christ that they want. I think they're well-intentioned, and I think that but ultimately what they're doing is they prioritize wrong. As opposed to prioritizing God, people, because the things that God has set out are a protection of people. What they've done is they said, well, I'm going to affirm what people want, and then I'm going to use God to support that, and just kind of tint that a little bit. And that is basically what I see. It's that thing. And I get it, and maybe I'm even prone to it. I don't know. But it's a real risk, and what I want to make sure is that the things that we are fighting for are things that God is fighting for. And if God's not fighting for them, like, you got to figure out why you're so entrenched in it. Like, and are you strongly fighting for something above fighting for what God wants? So maybe that's where I'm at. I don't know. Maybe that's clear. Maybe it
seems like a difference between people who want Jesus as a savior and people who want Jesus as a Lord, like he said. We want a savior, but I can still do as I please.
Well, kind of. But see, like, here's where this gets twisted a little bit. Is I think people are actually fighting for, they're trying to fight strongly for loving God and loving people. That's what they're fighting for.
But sometimes people love things opposite of what God says.
Correct. And I'm afraid that in our passion to love people, that we've sometimes forget how God loves them, and we're loving them differently, and we're fighting for that. And I think that's where we got to be careful. Is like, if you're going to run on a commandment from God to love God, to love him and love people, you've given him the authority to say that's what you're supposed to do. He should also have the authority to say how it is done. And sometimes we choose to love people the way we want, but we take that broad command and we paint the whole landscape with it. And I think that's the risk, is that our love isn't God's love. Sometimes we're not willing to do the what we consider to be the difficult thing. We're not willing to call someone and say, look, you've got to give it up. Whatever it is that's holding on to your life, whatever sin, whatever choice, we're not willing to say that. God is. I don't love them as much as God does, but what I see, my love for them is affirmation. My love for them is support. That's not always God's version of love. That's not how he treats people, because he loves better than I do. And sometimes our perspective of love just gets jacked up. And I think we got to be careful that we are, that we don't idolize love as an example, but two, that we don't prioritize something differently than God prioritizes it. And we got to be very careful of that. Now, here's the deal, is like, broadly, again, pick your rough issue of the day. I actually think we mismanage that. I think most Christians are willing to beat you up with God when God wouldn't do that. However, on the other side of it, sometimes we fight for Jesus reacting to people in the way that he would without actually talking to them and pointing them to places that Jesus would point them. So again, we're all fighting, we're all tearing apart for aspects of Jesus' character and saying, I want this, I want this, as opposed to like dealing with an entire Jesus that we follow, not the other way around. That's my Pope style advice. Just be careful. Be careful that like what you're passionate about is something that God is passionate about and in the ways that he's passionate about them.
Ready?
Yep.
Dear Life from the Path, I recently took my children to spend a week with my mother-in-law, B. 3 days after we arrived, my husband flew in to join us. The next day, B handed me a hotel room key and told me to take as many of the children as I wanted, but I could not take my husband because she never gets to spend time with him. I told B I was offended and that I should not have been invited if it wasn't a family trip. As I was packing to leave, my mother-in-law left and spent the rest of our visit in the hotel herself while my family and I stayed at her house. My husband has now told me that I will not be allowed to visit her again, and when she visits us next, it will be just him and the kids because I make his mother uncomfortable. Wow. Must I stay away, as he says, or should I pursue keeping myself included when they visit from my mother-in-law?
Wow.
Wow. Oh, man alive, this guy makes me angry.
Here's the deal, you married the wrong man.
Can we take this guy to the woodshed?
Man. We don't even have woodsheds anymore after Leave It to Beaver got canceled.
I'd be willing to build one.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can build a woodshed.
Okay, we'll go 50-50 on a woodshed. Okay. Absolutely.
Wow, what a pansy.
Really?
Dude, you married the woman. She's now your priority, not your mother.
Yeah, your mom is no longer the biggest deal in your life.
Yeah.
Should have never
been. Okay, but what's your advice for this woman? Okay, here's what we know. The man is a doofus.
Yeah, boy.
She's not going to change that in 5 minutes.
She's in a rough spot. What's he proposing to do? Kick her out of the house when his mom comes to town? What is she gonna like? Not leave? Sit in the middle of the living room and pout? She's kind of hosed here.
Well, she needs to make peace with her mother-in-law.
Agreed. How do you do that? She won't want her around. She didn't want her around to begin with. It's completely offensive.
Yeah. Wow. Boy.
Right, because the outcome.
What do you do?
The outcome doesn't seem likely where you make peace with the mother-in-law, and then she says, oh, now that we've made peace, now I want to spend time with you and the kids and the husband. Because even before there was a problem, she didn't want to spend time with her and the kids. She wanted to spend time with the son.
Well, she needs to have a good long talk with her husband and let him know very clearly that he needs to decide who the woman is in his life, whether it's her or his mom. And they need to move forward.
It might be time for some backup here. I feel like she's not going to win this thing against this guy. He's obviously a stone cold doofus. You're going to need some backup here. You're going to have to find another dude to talk to him. I feel like I think it's another dude.
Wait, so is your advice to go outside of her marriage to another, to like a friend of his, and try to convince him to go back?
I'd get someone some kind of authority. Can't be his buddy.
What? Who? The police?
Get a random preacher. Get a random Jesus man.
Hi, I know you don't attend my services
or anything,
but I'd like to talk to you about how you treat your wife.
We're all part of the body of the Lord. Get on in there and talk to him.
I'm sorry, should I call your mom and see you if you can come out to play first? It.
Let's have a vote of morality. You should not treat your wife that way.
Oh, man.
I'm not kidding. It's outside help time. She ain't going to win that one. Who talks to his wife that way? He's an idiot.
They need to go to a professional counselor to get the help.
Okay.
Yeah. There we go. There'll be an objective person.
Yeah.
A Christian counselor.
Yeah, I would agree. They need an arbiter because if his response to all that was what they said it was.
You make my mom uncomfortable.
Yeah, what kind of ridiculous statement? You just kicked my wife out of my house and then she left instead. Mom did.
If my mom caused a scene like that to my wife, I would be furious.
Yes.
Furious.
I'd be saying, Mom, get back here and apologize. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what Secular has to say.
That's a rookie mistake right there for that guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he's, who knows?
It could be early in the marriage.
He's got three kids.
Never mind.
I feel like he's been an idiot since grade school.
Yeah, she's been letting this go on. So you know, she's finally had enough, which is good.
Secular says, did this happen out of the blue, or have you always had a strained relationship with your husband's mother? I'm guessing it's the latter. If so, why? If the genesis of this is something you have said or done, and you can't mend fences, then perhaps it would be better if you made other plans while B visits. If it isn't, then face it. You married a mama's boy, and for that, you have my sympathy. Were I in your shoes, rather inflict my presence on Queen B, I'd grab the chance to treat myself to a well-earned vacation when the lady is in town.
Oh, no.
That doesn't fix anything.
And ditto when your husband and the kids go to visit Granny. J,
check into a spa and let yourself have a good time.
How could you look this man in the eye? How could you how could you respect this man ever with this type of behavior?
And you know she's going to be undermining the relationship the whole time.
Yeah.
She'll be downplaying her, and the mom will. And
why isn't mom allowed to be here, Dad? Come on!
The wife has got to be queen or else.
Yep. Oh, man. This man is disgusting to me.
I say we go get him.
I would be willing to punch him in the face and hit him with my car.
for the record, this man has essentially allowed another woman to be the primary woman in his life.
Yeah.
You have this other woman who's just taken the place of his wife. I mean, just...
That's the exact definition. This is gross, by the way, but that's the exact definition I gave my 7-year-old for adultery. Like, we were reading through Matthew, and like I was trying to explain adultery to someone her age, and I said it's if I were to find another woman and treat her as my wife. Mm-hmm. That was the standard, and that's exactly what this man is doing.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm a broad spectrum idiot for most of the part of my life, but I know that that's not cool. So I'm with you guys. I have no respect for this guy.
I need a pre-recorded thing every time Boova redirects something about him.
In Boova time.
I like it. That'd be awesome.
About me. Let's talk about
in Boova land.
That'd be awesome. Meanwhile, with Boova.
Anyway.
Yeah, I hear you talking about some Hobby Lobby and blah, blah, blah. I went to lunch today.
I've never shopped at Hobby Lobby.
To demonstrate portions of my character like humility and sense of humor, check out this dig at myself.
That is awesome. I like it.
Here we go. One more. Ready? Dear Life in the Path, I'm 17 and a junior in high school. My family has recently been hit with hard times. We lost our home and we are living in a motel, and I'm struggling with depression. I haven't attended school since last September. However, I'm feeling well enough to the point where I'd like to start attending school again. I'd be willing to take more than 6 periods, and if necessary, I'd be willing to attend summer school. I want to graduate from high school, but I don't know if that's possible. She's a junior? Okay. My mother has never been okay with any decisions I have made, so I don't know how to tell her. I don't want to disappoint her, but I do want to do this. Any advice you are willing to give would be appreciated. Here's the deal. I'm not really sure what she's asking help on.
Yeah.
What was the start?
She's got two problems
Why
there.
Is she not in school?
They're having hard times. They're in a motel now, so yeah, she can probably still be in school. It doesn't cost anything.
No.
Yeah.
Unless well, but, I mean, maybe, well, yeah, maybe she's not in the district anymore, and they're poor. They don't have a way to get there. I mean, that could be.
Okay.
In homeschool. Well, she could join a different district then.
Homeschool?
Sounds like not. Mom never supportive.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue right there. Mom not supportive. I mean, that's harder.
That sounds like a real teenager thing to say. My mother has never been okay with any decision I have made.
Yeah.
That's a good chance because you've made really bad decisions.
I can't. It sounds like she's asking... She wants to go back to high school, but is thinking maybe I'm not going to graduate.
I think she needs to look into some other programs. They have your after, what do they call that? Like when you're not in school, then you can come back type of thing. You can get your GED. It's an accelerated program type of thing. She could no doubt excel on something like that.
Mm-hmm. She mentioned depression, though.
Yeah.
Although she's a teenager, so, you know, whatever.
I'm confused by this whole, I have no idea what to say.
So you should pursue going to school in whatever area is closest to you.
Yeah.
Talk to a school, talk counselor or something. Yeah. And,
they'll let
and
you in. Legal.
Yeah. You'll probably get a sweet, at least one free meal a day out of the deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Generally, none of us are going to say don't go back to school. So I think our advice is...
You're a junior in high school, man. You're almost done.
She's 17. I mean, in a few more months, I mean, she's on her own anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you think her mom's going to kick her out of the hotel? Is that what you're saying?
Could
she? She's on her own anyway? The mom's going to, when she's 18, she's kicking her out?
Oh, I don't know. But I just mean she can make adult decisions. She doesn't need a mom to make a single
to go to school. Okay.
Mom's. All right, here is the secular advice. You are clearly an intelligent young woman, and your determination to finish school is something that should be supported by all of the adults in your life. If possible, go back to the school you were attending and talk with a counselor or the principal about your family circumstances, including your struggle with depression. Whether you can resume studies at your former school may depend whether the motel you're staying in is within the district. Okay, here's the deal. That's pretty obvious. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. This should not have been a point of contention.
Actually, if she doesn't understand that, maybe a junior high school is too high of a...
I feel like it tells a young woman was... I mean, you're really laying it on a little bit thick for someone who can't say, hey, my motel is not in my school district no more. I'm not really sure of the situation. It just seems very odd to me. It says, but a counselor should be able to help you transfer if that becomes necessary. I wish you the best of luck. Your mother should be proud of you, because I certainly am.
Yeah.
Yes, based on our previous interaction. Yeah, classic. here, I think it just breaks down to, look, if you need some help, there's got to be 50 smaller things to talk about here. The two big questions you're asking can't be answered without talking about 50 smaller things. And so, look, you just need to go talk to a school counselor and someone that's willing to give you some time. Because, frankly, I mean, I think if anybody was willing to invest the time, obviously she's willing to invest the effort. I think you can come to a reasonable solution. That's it.
All right, you've been listening live from the Path. Thank you for hanging out with us. Big shout out to our sponsors, Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower Team at EisenhowerTeam.com and Westfield Veterinary Hospital in Johnson for all your pet care needs. Bring your giraffe in. They're crazy down there. They do what they want to do. WestfieldVetHospital.com. Hey, next week, just a heads up, here's what I got on the docket. I was reading a marriage month tip of the day. And here's the tip. A tip for women. Instead of the I love you type words that come naturally, purposefully look for daily opportunities to say what matters most to a man. Thank you. Great job. And I'm so proud of you. We're going to talk about the validity of that advice. Whether, does that do it for you? Or what does? Next week on Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you next week.